Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Future Brew Podcast right here on MazerBrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon. I will be your host today, and my co-host with me, as always, Seth Berry, our MazerBrew recruiting contributor. We are back and getting ourselves in a little bit of a rhythm here with some commitments that we'll talk about, this one being on the basketball side of things. So, Seth, I'm excited to kind of switch it up, and we're going to start with basketball. But before we do that, how are you doing, my friend? How's your week been?
I'm doing well. I think it's I don't think we've ever talked basketball in here before together. So that'll be a good change up. And yeah, the week's been good. Obviously, the week goes by a little slower, work week wise when it's Michigan State week, and you're just waiting for, that game to come around on Saturday. But excited for that, and excited to get through the week and into the weekend and enjoy that game and some other college football games that'll be happening this weekend. So just excited for the next few days ahead here.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. Going to the game should be fun. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout or whatever the hell they're doing. They got Maze pom-poms, so it'll be fun. Night game, against one of your top rivals. It's you're right. The week goes a little bit slower with that coming at the end of the week. So we're really working for the weekend this weekend for sure. But let's get into some basketball recruiting, and I don't think we've ever talked about hoops recruiting before either, at least not you and I. I've spoken with a couple other people in podcasts a long time ago about basketball recruiting, but this is a first, so here we go. I mean, kind of like what we always do, we got to start with the latest commitment, obviously with this one being on the basketball side of things. This one is a pretty important one, and you'll probably see why here in just a second when I further explain this. But Juwan Howard received a commitment late last week from 2023 four-star center Papa Conte, and he chose Michigan over his other finalists, which included Maryland, Rutgers, Pittsburgh, and Memphis. He stands 6'10", he's 215, ranked number 108 overall on the composite. He is the number 14 center and also the number 4 player from Connecticut. It may list him on his recruiting profiles as being from Connecticut, but he originally hails from Senegal. He moved to the United States back in 2019 to pursue his dream of playing basketball. He blew up over the summer during the AAU circuit. He was with the Nike EYBL circuit for Expressions Elite. And that's when he really started to garner attention, and Peach Jam specifically. During that season, he averaged a little over 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks per game. So he certainly is a well-rounded prospect. He has visited Michigan twice. He visited once for an official visit back in June. He also came back a couple weekends ago for his second visit. So he got to take in, I believe it was the Penn State game. Seth, one of the things that really stood out to me during this recruitment was his relationship with Juwan. He mentioned it during his commitment live stream that Juwan played a huge role in his recruitment and was the number one thing. Number one reason, really, for him committing to the University of Michigan. He also mentioned Michigan feeling like home, being that he's an international student. And the university takes in so many international students every year, with the basketball program especially doing so. We've seen tons and tons of international guys throughout the years. It's been a slow-moving 2023 class for Michigan, And I will ask you more about that in a minute. But as far as this commitment goes, this feels like a pretty big win for the program on the recruiting trail. And once again, Juwan showing that he can get top targets at any given moment.
And it's not surprising that, you talk about the relationship there between Juwan and Conte and him speaking to just Juwan being active in his recruitment and a big reason why he ended up choosing the Wolverines. With the connections that Juwan makes on the trail and the connections that he has just overall with a lot of these guys, it's not a surprise that relationship just kept building and growing and that it ended up coming to what it came to, and that he chose the Wolverines ultimately when it came down to it. Just watching some of his film and reading about some of the scouting reports, it's and we were talking a little bit about this before we came on, but just that he's I mean, first of all, to have a 7'4" wingspan is he's going to make an immediate impact in terms of his athleticism, his rebounding ability. His ability to run in transition, finish, in the open court, and do a lot of things that just from an energy standpoint, that'll be beneficial for Michigan in terms of getting up and down the floor and rebounding and playing above the rim and doing things, to create extra possessions on the offensive glass and things like that, just in terms of a hustle, hustle player and someone who can really provide that type of, those type of elements. For Michigan. And then, just looking at just, his position with Juwan being such a developer of talent and, with front court players. I mean, we can talk all day about Hunter Dickinson and how he's turned into an All-American. You have another front court player last year in Musa Diabate that, was a one and done, but just continued to progress as the year went on in terms of, just changing up his variety of moves and he got really good at his face-up game. Conte doesn't have a huge package, with his moves and his offensive skill set yet, but it's something that he could definitely develop down the road and something that Michigan will certainly be working with him on just developing a more of a package and more of a one-on-one type of game. But I'm excited to see kind of see where that goes and definitely exciting for Michigan to land the type of prospect that Conte is with the type of potential he has.
Yeah, the potential is there, man. You mentioned the 7'4" wingspan. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, that is certainly impressive for a kid that's 6'10". So he's got the reach, and that's definitely going to help you out. With the lack of height, I guess, compared to other bigs in the Big Ten, obviously Hunter Dickinson being the one that comes to my mind. He's about 7'1", 7'2". So Conte doesn't have the height that Dickinson or Kofi Coburn or Zach Edey or any of these guys really have, but he makes up for it with the IQ that he has and that wingspan. He's going to really be able to set himself up in position to collect a ton of rebounds at the collegiate level. So I'm really excited to see him really develop into the player that he will become, because you know that Juwan is going to get the very best out of him, like he has with Hunter Dickinson and like he did at points with Musa Diabate, a guy that you brought up, and with Austin Davis, one of the big men that he first had his first year in Ann Arbor. I thought he did a really, really good job with Austin Davis. I want to bring up another point, though. Let's go back to something I touched on very briefly here, Seth, and that's the slow-moving 2023 class for Michigan. Papa Conte is the only committed prospect for the Wolverines in this class. And the early signing period is coming up. I could not believe this until I looked at this earlier today, but the early signing period starts November 9th. So we're really just 2 weeks away from 2023 basketball prospects being able to sign their letter of intent. Michigan was the last program in the Big Ten to pick up a commitment in this 2023 class, which to me is kind of surprising given how many guys they've offered, how many guys they've really pursued in this class. I just thought that one would have committed sooner, but that's just sometimes how the dominoes fall. And Papa Conte obviously being a good recruit, so it's nice that they got him, but would have been nice to get him along with a couple other guys earlier in this cycle just to have some peace of mind. So I kind of have a hypothesis, Seth, and I'll explain mine after, but I want to get your take on what you think has attributed to the slow moving 2023 class for Michigan basketball.
I mean, I guess it's hard to say considering that, obviously the Juwan was just able to establish so much momentum on the recruiting trail early on. And, not to say that that's been lost just because, they've had one guy committed. I mean, I think, like you said, the dominoes can fall a certain way. When these type of things happen, there's obviously, still guys that they have on their radar that, they could land. And things of that nature. That they have a, you look at the roster right now. It's interesting with just looking back to the last class. That, and what Michigan's kind of done in the past with graduate transfers and scholarships that have come in. That have come out of that. With guys like Devontae Jones and Llewellyn that's come in as point guard this past year. And just looking at the point guard situation, I always try to, with Conte, you look at the center position and kind of try to correlate, who's going to be his point guard when he steps on campus next year. And you look at a guy like Doug McDaniel and how that might mesh and how that could look going into next season. But yeah, I guess I'd be interested in hearing your theory on why the class has been so slow. Because I don't I can't, I guess I can't really put a finger on it myself. But I think overall, I don't think momentum has been lost by any means on the recruiting front for Juwan in this program. I think it's just one of those situations to where, like I said, it's kind of how the dominoes fell. Right now is the way I see it. And hopefully by the time they get to the early signing period and maybe after that, they can pick up a couple more commits.
Yeah, I don't think momentum's been lost either. They've offered 5 point guards in this class, 2 shooting guards, 4 small forwards, 7 power forwards, 3 centers, and 1 combo guard. So they've certainly extended offers to a ton of guys in this class. So they have not shied away from going after these guys and recruiting them. Honestly, it's really, in my mind, it seems kind of easy as far as what the reason is and why it's been so slow. And I think it's just because of the scholarships that they've already got on the team, because no one really expected Hunter Dickinson heading into last season to return for his junior year. If it had been brought up, it would have just been, oh, there's no way that he comes back for a junior season. He's going to go off to the NBA after his sophomore year, and that's going to be that. But he's back. He got good NIL opportunities, and obviously his NBA draft stock just wasn't high enough for him to go. So the NIL really helped decide at the end of the day. At least that's what Dickinson said at Big Ten Media Days, is that it played a huge role in him coming back to Ann Arbor. So who knows? He could be back for his senior season. We really don't know how this is all going to fall. And honestly, the guys in this true freshman class with Terrace Reed and Greg Glenn, Doug McDaniel, you mentioned, and Jet Howard, I think of those four, I think really only one has one and done potential, and that would probably be Jet. And I don't even think it's a guarantee that he would leave after this season, just because he's got so much to play for in Ann Arbor, to play for his dad, to play with his brother, to continue the family legacy at the University of Michigan. So, and it's not like the kid needs money by any means. His father is a well-established head coach. He played in the NBA for a long time. So he's not, he doesn't need the NBA salary right now by any means. So I could very well see a situation where Michigan doesn't really lose anybody except for maybe Jalen Llewellyn after this season, just because his eligibility would be up, and I'd have to look at the roster up, but anybody else that may have their eligibility expire, obviously they would be gone too. But Lou Allen is really, I guess Lou Allen and maybe Joey Baker, those would be the two guys, and those were two transfers, two senior transfers from this offseason. So yeah, I don't know. I think it really is just a numbers crunch as far as scholarship goes at this point. So I wouldn't be too surprised, Seth, to see Papa Conte be the only member of this 23 class for the Wolverines, but at the same time, they are going after a couple other guys on the recruiting trail. They hosted a guard that they like, George Washington the third. He's number 76 overall on the composite, and they so they took in a visit from him, and they visited him at his high school in Dayton, Ohio recently. So it seems like they're really pursuing him and pushing for him pretty hard. Obviously, there are a couple other guys on the radar, but at this moment, I think it's really going to be it's either really going to be George Washington the third or just Papa Conte, because they're still going after Isaiah Collier, who's a five-star point guard as well. But it seems like he's kind of trending towards USC at the moment. He listed Michigan in his top four, but I don't really see him committing to Michigan at this point. I think he'll stay, well, not, I guess, not local, but I think he will commit eventually to the Trojans. I know that his commitment date is coming up sometime next month, probably aligning with the early signing period there. So, I think that's kind of where Michigan basketball stands. It's been kind of a boring cycle, and that's why we really haven't talked about it. But when these commitments happen, we got to talk about it. And I was excited to see that Conte joined the fold. I think he's a really good prospect and has a chance to be a really nice player, nice 2 or 3 year player in Ann Arbor, possibly even four. I don't think he's going to be a one and done guy either. So, Seth, any other departing thoughts on basketball recruiting before we probably seal the deal on that for the rest of the 2023 class?
I mean, kind of as I mentioned, Llewellyn, and you talked about Baker as well. You know, as trying to go through my head about once you made the point of the scholarship situation and knowing their young roster and knowing that yeah, like you said, there's not a lot of guys there that have the one and done potential. You look at a guy like you know, even some of the upperclassmen like Terrence Williams. You know, he's staying another year after this year. He's not, I don't see him making a jump to the NBA after his junior year. So, and then yeah, you make the point about Dickinson that he could potentially stay for all 4 years himself. So yeah, you just look up and down that roster and you know, the scholarship situation being limited in that sense. So yeah, that just makes a lot of sense. Obviously, in basketball, you have more of a numbers crunch with just less scholarships to give away. So yeah, I guess that's kind of my outlook on it as well. And obviously, just an exciting, you know, an exciting young roster that they have, and it'll be exciting to see what they do this year. But we haven't seen, you know, in the Beeline era, there was, you know, he really started to get a lot of the one and dones, and you know, it's been kind of a thing for Michigan basketball where there's been some guys that have left early. So to see it kind of, I guess, shift now to where they can have some guys on the roster that are staying those 3 or 4 years, that's kind of exciting in terms of when you're talking about building a program and making sure it sustains momentum too. So I guess just looking forward to all of those elements and what's to come for the Michigan basketball season too.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good to have basketball back. I do genuinely love college basketball, and things obviously don't turn, you know, the heat doesn't get turned up a whole lot until the tournament, but it's just such a great time with football being around, with basketball being around. Hockey has been off to a stellar start, so there's a lot of good going on at the university.
I try to make it a point too. I know a lot of people, you know, like you say, the college basketball momentum doesn't really pick up until, you know, it hits the tournament time. But I try to make a point to watch just about every Michigan basketball game too. Even early in the season, it's just
Oh yeah.
exciting, I guess, you know, to have him back and just to see how they look early on and kind of the progression of what happens. So I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'll turn on college basketball all year long, you know, and
Oh
just
yeah.
watch it all the way through.
Absolutely. Oh, me too. I'm the same way. I love college, but I mean, obviously college football is my first love, but college basketball is right up there, man. I love just turning on ESPN and the night games of, especially early in the season, you get like the Kansas versus Dukes and the Gonzagas versus Baylors and, you know, these kinds of big top tier matchups, Kentucky versus, you know, Florida State. I mean, you get a lot of really good opening weekend basketball games. So it's always really good to have that. And I'm excited to have it back. Starts I believe in the next week and a half or so. I know exhibition game is coming up next Friday, but the week really starts, or the season starts really the week after that. So that'll be good to have back. So Seth, any other final thoughts from you, buddy?
Oh no, I'm good to move
No.
on to
All
the
right.
next thing, so.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we will just quick moment here to talk about Mason Brew Podcast sponsor, and that is Manscaped, which is the best at men's below the waist grooming. Products are precision engineered tools to protect your family jewels. And the latest in men's grooming with Manscaped is the Performance Package 4.0. And guys, it's legit. It includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is amazing. It's waterproof, has that patented skin safe technology. It literally has everything that you could possibly need to trim up and down and all around. The package also includes the Weed Whacker ear nose trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Cleanser groin wash, Crop Reviver ball spray. And if that wasn't enough, you get a free pair of boxers and you get a travel bag to carry all this stuff in, because you do get a ton of stuff with that Performance Package 4.0. So join the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs, and use the promo code MNB20 to get 20% off your order. So head to manscaped.com. Again, promo code MNB20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. Let's move on here. We will actually get to some football talk now, as I'm sure that the title on, if you're listening to this on masonbrew.com, the headline, the title of this probably is what you've been waiting for us to talk about. So let's just waste no more time. There are going to be a ton of visitors this weekend, so stay tuned Friday morning for John Simmons' full visitors list. But until then, let's briefly chat about one guy in particular, and I think you know who we're talking about. That is 2024 five-star quarterback Jayden Davis. This is going to be his fourth time in Ann Arbor since June, and this is going to be his second game day visit of the season, his most recent one being for a game day experience. That was back in September for JJ McCarthy's first ever start. That was under the lights of the Big House against Hawaii. All these visits are important, but this one just seems a little bit more so. The 2024 quarterbacks are starting to come off the board pretty quickly. Georgia took a quarterback about a week ago. They took in four-star quarterback Ryan Puglisi. So the Bulldogs are officially out of the running for Jayden Davis. And Georgia, if you recall, they were one of the top programs of note in Jayden Davis's recruitment here. Davis was also supposed to visit Penn State last weekend for their Whiteout game against Minnesota. He canceled that trip altogether, which is huge news. So it doesn't really seem like the Nittany Lions are much of a contender here anymore either. The other schools that seem to be in the running, though, are Clemson, Tennessee, and North Carolina, all of which he has seen in person this year. I think Clemson is probably one of the bigger threats here. He saw them a couple weeks back for the NC State game, but Tennessee saw Tennessee just a couple weeks ago for their upset over Alabama. Obviously, that was the one of the premier games of college football this season. You can't understate enough the importance that seeing that type of atmosphere and that type of game with Tennessee beating Bama for the first time in what, 16 or 17 years, something like that. I can imagine that would have a pretty big impact on a recruit visiting for that game. Jim Harbaugh and Matt Weiss have been putting in a ton of work, though, on the Michigan side of things in this recruitment. They both saw him in North Carolina, his hometown, during the bye week, and Matt Weiss went to his high school game as well. The Wolverines do not have a high-level quarterback in the 2023 class like the other competitors in this recruitment, or at least some of them. So early playing time is certainly a pitch in Michigan's favor. Now, Seth Davis has said time and time again he wants to take official visits in the spring and then figure out what he wants to do with his commitment. Michigan is certainly going to push for a commitment this weekend. I can tell you that. I can pretty much guarantee and assure you that. So, how important do you think it is for Harbaugh and company to get the job done and earn a commitment this weekend?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, I think it's important. I think it's going to be tough to do, considering, you know, that he has stated that he wants to take official visits and he wants to kind of go through the process. But when you consider the timing of it all, you know, with Georgia having their quarterback situation set in the 24 class and now them being out of the picture and, you know, the surfacing reports that, you know, Michigan is kind of the clear favorite here right now. When we factor all those, you know, all those things together, you know that Michigan's gonna this weekend, you know, it's gonna be another roll out the red carpet type of situation. You know, they're gonna do everything they can to really put it in his mind that, you know, this is, you know, Ann Arbor is a place to be. It's gonna be an incredible environment on Saturday night. When you talk about, you know, visiting the big house in the daytime is much different than the night games. I can tell you that much right now. You can attest to that too, Vaughn. Just the atmosphere is great either way, but the night games are unreal. And especially with Michigan State coming into Ann Arbor, it's just going to be a great environment for not only Davis, but all the recruits that come in. Like you say, you can't understate, and I was going to make that point as well. You know, his visit to Tennessee and what happened there, and that they're a school that's in the mix and has a lot of momentum in terms of their program overall right now. But yeah, I think Michigan is obviously in a good spot. And if they could pull a commitment out of him this weekend, that is going to make, I think, a lot of people happy. Obviously, I think people are, as we well know, are kind of waiting to see what happens with this recruitment, because there are a lot of people that are anxious about the quarterback situation, the fact that they haven't been able to secure one yet in the 24 class and what they missed out on in the 23 class. So yeah, if Michigan gets big news out of him this weekend, that's going to be huge. And I think it'll be challenging. I don't know if I expect that coming out of this weekend from Davis, but I mean, boy, that would be a home run for sure. If that's able to happen.
Yeah. Home run indeed. I mean, it'd be a grand slam if they could get him, because it would only help with some of the guys in the 23 class, with some of the offensive linemen specifically that they're still going after. I think it'd help them out, but it would definitely help with some of his teammates, the wide receivers. Channing Goodwin, Jordan Shipp, both four-star guys, would obviously help with those guys. But some of the other receivers that they're in on in the 24 class, I think it would help tremendously with them. So I think it's really important, because the longer that this goes, the more doubt really comes in here with, I mean, we all saw how the 2023 quarterback, I guess with Dante Moore, how it played out, obviously not ideal. They put all of their chips in for Dante Moore and just didn't pan out for him. So they ended up having to go to Ronnie Bell's brother, who may not even play quarterback at the next level. So it's very possible that they don't have one in this 23 class. So they really, really, really need to strike gold in this 24 class. And right now, Jaden Davis is the guy. They've offered several other guys in the 24 class, and Julian Sain being the other five-star that they've offered. he is trending towards either Bama or LSU at the moment. It seemed like he was a Georgia lean at one point, but obviously they have their quarterback, so they're good. So if it doesn't become Jaden Davis, there's a question mark there looming as far as who your quarterback is going to be, because the guy that you would have thought might be a shoe-in, CJ Carr, he's committed to Notre Dame, and there's probably no chance that he would flip to Michigan at this point. So I think it's really vital that Michigan, at the very least, they got to push for him. And I think they will. I think they will push for a commitment this weekend. Whether or not they will get that remains to be seen. As a Michigan fan, you certainly hope that they seal the deal this weekend so you can kind of speed up recruiting some of the guys in the 23 class, but certainly a lot of the guys in the 24 class. And you kind of just avoid what happened in 23 altogether. Go back to when J.J. McCarthy committed early in his day in the 2021 class. It really sped the process up of him becoming a leader in the class and getting guys to commit with him to come to Michigan. He was a big proponent with Andrel Anthony. He was a big proponent for Junior Colson, arguably Michigan's best linebacker and best defensive player, certainly ranking-wise, in the 2021 class. So getting a five-star quarterback on board, it's only going to make things so much better and could even speed up the process for some of these other targets that they're going after. Obviously, I brought up those other Providence Day kids that seem to come with him on every visit, whether it be Channing Goodwin, Jordan Shipp, or both of them. I believe Shipp is at the very least coming in for this visit or for this game on an unofficial visit. So it would probably help with him for sure. Goodwin, he's got the Michigan connection. So it's, you know, he doesn't really need a whole lot of convincing to go to Michigan, but that certainly wouldn't hurt either. But I'll kind of just leave one more question here for you, Seth. Out of the other schools involved, who do you think is the biggest threat now that Georgia's out of the running? I would probably say Clemson is at the moment, just given the relationships that he's built with Dabo Swinney, and they really rolled out the red carpet for him on his visit to Clemson a few weeks ago for that game against NC State. But Tennessee certainly could be one too. North Carolina, obviously the hometown school, so you can never rule them out either. But your quick thoughts, Seth, on who you think would be the primary competition for Michigan in this recruitment if Jaden Davis does not end up shutting things down this weekend.
I think I agree. I think Clemson would be the other school there, certainly in play to be able to land him. With Tennessee, I think being a, I don't want to say dark horse because they're obviously right there in the mix, but I think Tennessee being a close third, and obviously you can't rule any of them out. You know, you talk about North Carolina being the hometown school, but if I were to say, you know, if I were to define a second place, I guess right now I would have Clemson definitely in second. One of the questions, if we have time, I think we have a little time, that I was going to pose to you, Vaughn, is kind of the, you were talking about the approach with Dante Moore, you know, how they kind of threw their, you know, put their, all their eggs in one basket with him, or, you know, all the chips on the table with, in terms of just, you know, recruiting a quarterback in the 23 class. Do you think, you know, with his 24 class, if Davis doesn't work out, I mean, obviously, you know, that type of approach kind of killed him in the 23 class. So do you think, you know, if Davis somehow didn't work out, that they would spend more time and I guess put more resources into making sure that they are able to secure another quarterback that might not be a Jaden Davis caliber, but to make sure they have someone there committed in the class?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at this point, you would have to go after a couple other guys. So they've offered a handful of quarterbacks in the 24 class. Jaden Davis, obviously being the five-star guy that they're going after. They were after Julian Sain for a while, like I mentioned, but obviously he's trending towards the SEC. Michael Van Buren is a guy that I would be interested in. He's a quarterback. He's a four-star guy, top 100 player. He plays at St. Francis Academy. So Michigan has a ton of St. Francis kids on their roster with Corum and Nakai Hill Green and Derek Moore, Iebi Oki, and you know, the list kind of goes on and on. So that would be a kid that I would be interested in pursuing further. I would also be interested in Isaac Wilson as well. Submitted, they haven't offered him yet. He's the brother of Zach Wilson. He visited a couple weeks ago for the Penn State game. I would certainly give him a good look because he looks to be a pretty good four-star caliber quarterback as well. I think he is rated as a four-star. I'd have to take a look at the rankings real quick. But yeah, he is certainly a guy that I would look after and probably give an offer to, just because you already got him on campus. I'm sure he would be ecstatic to have that offer. And on the composite, he's number 132. 24/7 in their own rankings has him as number 52 overall. So highly caliber guy right there. So they're going to have their options here, but Davis is the clear cut number one for them. And in my eyes too, I think he is the clear cut number one, but those are just a few other guys that I would poke around at and you know, turn the burner on a little bit if they haven't already done so. If they haven't reached out to these guys and, you know, contacted them consistently. So we'll certainly see after the weekend, but if it's like Monday or Tuesday and Jaden Davis hasn't committed, I'd probably start with that offer to Isaac Wilson. That's at least what I would do. But yeah, I hope I answered your question there, Seth.
You did. Yeah. I was just kind of interested in getting your take on, you know, the approach. And obviously after dropping the ball in the 23 classes with more, that they would likely take a different approach here to make sure that they are set at that position, you know, whether it's Jaden Davis or like say a guy like Wilson or elsewhere, just to make sure they have what they need to have lined up there and make sure that they do indeed get one in the 24 class. Cause that would be a catastrophe if, to say the least, if they didn't. So,
yeah, no doubt. It certainly would be. And I can't imagine what it'd be like if they whiffed on all these other guys, but you know what? We'll see how it shakes out after this weekend. I'm slightly optimistic, but, we'll certainly see. Recruiting's kind of crazy. So, but yeah, that's all the time we got for today. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. You can follow Seth at @Barry_Seth14. Follow Maize and Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just type in Maize and Brew. Subscribe to the Maize and Brew podcast. We would certainly appreciate all of that support. For Seth Barry, I am Vaughn Lozon, and we will come back next week with another edition of Future Brew.